go. She knows no one can stop her now with a big dream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Client Attraction Video Symposium. I am Tara Butler-Flock, your host, and I am here with our last interview of the day with Doug Foresta, and he's going to talk to us about how to expand your reach through the power of podcasting. So I am so excited for this interview. Thank you for being here, Doug.
Oh, most welcome. My pleasure. And Barry, thank you for having me.
You are so welcome. So Doug is a distinguished podcaster. I've actually been on his show and we had such a great connection, and I just love what he's doing, and I wanted him to share how you can do this at home too, because it's been so successful for him. So let me tell you a little bit about him. So as I mentioned, he's a veteran podcaster and the host, a podcast host and mentor to help other people get their gift out in the world through podcasting. And he is the producer and host of the Coach Thing Show, Creating Change, and the Doug Foresta Show. He has done over 700 podcast episodes with Academy Award winners, New York Times bestsellers, and all sorts of wonderful people. Doug has helped hundreds of people from all over the world get their message out in a big way through the power of podcasting. And he's going to share as much as he can in 45 minutes today about how you too can get out there and do this work. So thank you for being here, Doug. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much. Thank you, Tara.
So I know that your journey to becoming a podcast veteran has been a really interesting one. And I would love for you to share a little bit about your journey and why you are so passionate about this work.
Sure. And much like, I'm sure that there are people who are going to watch this who had no idea what a podcast was before they watched this. And yeah. You know, when I started podcasting, I really had no idea. I didn't even know what a podcast was. I was really looking for a way to, my son at the time was, I mean, he's 9 now, but he was, you know, this is about 6 years ago. So he was 3 years old. And I was interested in speaking. I was interested in sharing my message with the world, but I didn't want to be on the road. I didn't want to travel a lot. And I got to a National Speakers Association meeting in Connecticut, and I met someone there who was a radio host. And I thought, oh, that'd be a great idea. I could do a radio show and then I could get my word out. And I was working with a coach at the time. And I said, I think I want to do a radio show, but I have no idea how to get into radio. And I don't even know like anything about radio. And she said, why don't you do a podcast? And I said, what's a podcast? And she explained to me that, you know, it was recorded audio. You could do it at home. And I started on Blog Talk Radio. And I was so nervous. I was extremely nervous about doing it. And I never thought, I mean, honestly, I just started doing it because I enjoyed it. And I wanted to get my message out. Although in the beginning, I was talking to myself. But over the years, I've really grown to be very passionate about it. And as I've gone along, people started asking me, like, how did you do this? And that led to showing other people and mentoring other people to how to do this.
Isn't that so wonderful? We actually have a couple other speakers speaking, but the same thing happened to them, is that they are now passionate about doing what they do because they were doing that as part of their business, just like one of their strategies. And people just kept saying, wow, you're doing this so well. How can I do this?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so great. So tell us a little bit about what is a podcast, because I don't know that everybody does know exactly what a podcast is.
Sure. And like I said, when I started, I didn't know what a podcast was either. So, but I do now. And I'll explain, you know, one of the things people ask me is, I put some audio up on my website. Is that a podcast? And the answer is no. what is a podcast? Well, a podcast is a recorded audio. It could be video, but we're talking about audio today. And it's recorded audio that is syndicated. And really the thing that makes a podcast is the syndication piece. Meaning if you think about, for example, people can subscribe, if you have a blog, people can subscribe to it and they can get new blog posts as they come. In the same way, you can have audio content that is, you have an RSS feed, which is the real simple syndication. It's the same thing that, it's really what enabled podcasting. And the same thing, how you can subscribe to a blog via RSS. What really makes a podcast is it's a recorded audio that people can subscribe to and then listen to or download on their mobile devices, on their computer, in their car. There's just more and more ways that people can access it. But it really is the syndication piece that makes a podcast a podcast.
I love that. You know that I have never known what RSS stands for until now.
Oh.
And I have an RSS feed for my blog, and I've always known what RSS is, but not what it stands for. So that's great. I love it.
You're ready to go on Jeopardy.
Exactly. So, you know, tell us a little bit more about this syndication piece. Like, you know, how does one take part in the syndication piece? I know that there's certain websites and different technologies that allow that. Can you tell us a little more about that?
Sure. So people always ask me, like, so how do I, there's so much confusion about how do I get my message? Like, let's say I know I'd record something. I can record it on my computer, but how do I get it from my computer into people's cars, onto their mobile devices, right? Where it seems like a magical leap to do this.
Yeah.
And it's the way to do it is, again, you need that RSS feed, which, for example, a hosting service like Libsyn, it's Libsyn, stands for Liberated Syndication. A podcast host like Libsyn, podcast hosting service, will provide you with this feed. And what you do is you then submit your feed to places like iTunes and Stitcher Radio. It's STITCHER, Stitcher.com. Those are the two biggest distribution channels for podcasts. And what it allows you to do is then it's like getting your show on CBS, right?
Nice.
So if you think about how big is iTunes, they have 1 billion podcast subscribers.
Wow.
Stitcher Radio has millions and millions of subscribers. So the magical way this happens is that you have this feed that your audio then is, you submit that feed to these two places like iTunes and Stitcher Radio, and you're listed, you get listed. So it's like, you know, it's like putting your book up on Amazon, right?
Yeah.
You put your book up on Amazon, you're now tapping into, you know, Kindle, you're tapping into Amazon's reach, which gives you, you know, a much more enormous reach than you could have. Unless if your website is bigger than Amazon, you don't need a podcast.
No kidding.
But it gives you a much bigger reach. And so that's really the magic, is you submit your show for distribution on these big channels. And that's one way. There's obviously other ways as well, but that's one of the ways in which you get your podcast out into the world.
Wow, cool. So let's back up a little bit and just talk about, you know, what's the benefit of doing podcasting? So now we know a little bit about the syndication, but why would we want to do podcasts? Like, how can that benefit these entrepreneurs out there?
Right. You know, it's funny. So the number one reason that I work with people on their podcasts, usually what people say to me is that it helps them expand their reach. That's the number one thing that people say. I have a message. I want to get out in the world in a bigger way. I know I can help people. I started really working with a lot of therapists, because my background is as a therapist myself.
Yeah.
And a lot of therapists have, let's say they have a healing modality that they know really works well with clients, but they can only work one-on-one with clients. And they're like, you know, I'd love for someone, you know, if I'm in Idaho, I'd love to be able to share this with somebody in California or Canada or New Zealand. And podcasting becomes a way to do that. You know, but then it really, coaches, speakers, authors, these are all people that, you know, we're doing this because we have something we want to share with the world,
yeah.
Right? We don't just want to hear our own voice. We want to help other people, engage other people. And so that's been the number one thing, is expanding your reach. So that would be the number one reason, is to expand your reach.
Nice.
However, at the other side of it is, you know, through the coaching show, I started to meet people that, you know, some of the biggest names in our industry, people that had, you know, well over a list of well over 100,000. And they said, oh, I'm starting my podcast. And I had to ask, why are you starting a podcast? Super famous. You're a New York Times bestselling author. You have a list of 100,000, 200,000. Why are you starting a podcast? I'm just curious, right? And one of the things they said to me is that they actually do really, really well with a podcast, because it nurtures their tribe and their community. And
yeah.
One of the big problems is list fatigue. So if you have a list of 100,000, one of the things is that, well, you know, your open rate, right? And people just get sick of seeing, you know, just sales offer after sales offer. they want to feel connected to you.
Yes.
One of the things a podcast does well, if you do it well, is that it makes people feel connected to you.
Mm-hmm.
And whether that's people in your own community or whether that's people that you now are bringing into your community, it's the power of your voice is really, it's something that's really, really powerful. And in fact, you know, I'm wearing these earbuds. And if you think about this, I'm not the first one to point this out, that the way we take in a podcast is so intimate.
Mm-hmm.
If we go, you know, if you go watch a movie in the movie theater, we're all watching it, right? There's lots of people. But when most people listen to a podcast, they're listening to it with earbuds on.
That's true.
You're literally, your voice is inside their head. You know, I mean, if you ever wanted to get your voice inside the mind of your, of you know, people that you want to serve, I mean, think about the power of that. It's really amazing. Yeah.
Wow. You know, I've actually listened to, there's some meditation podcasts that I listen to, and I actually listen to them as I'm falling asleep. And sometimes they're actually falling, you know, going through my mind as I'm sleeping. Wouldn't that be awesome to have your voice going through people's like sleep waves?
And you're with them. And the thing is that it's so flexible. It's such a flexible form of content. In other words, you know, I can't watch a video while I'm driving. I don't recommend that, right? We don't want people to be watching this. If you're driving, pull over, right? While you're driving. But the thing is that you can listen to a podcast while you're driving. You can listen to a podcast while you're washing the dishes. The one I love the best is I asked my community, you know, what places do you listen to a podcast most? One person said in the shower. That she, you know, I was like, I hope they're not bringing.
Don't electrocute yourself.
Yeah, exactly. But you're with people where in their daily lives, and they can listen while they're running. They can listen while they're working out at the gym. They can listen while they're, you know, while they're doing other things. And it fits in really well with our daily lives. And Fast Company just did an article saying that the future of media is podcasting. And they're talking about the big media companies.
Yeah.
So that the big media companies now are looking at podcasting because the way that we're consuming content now is very personal and very flexible in terms of, you know, I think about, remember the old days when you'd rush home to see the evening news? You know, like, I want to get home. And, you know, I mean, now it's like your great-grandmother is the only person, right? I mean, the age, I'm not trying to offend anyone, you know, any of our audience members who are elders, you know, but in other words, that those days are gone. You know, the days of, I'm going to sit here at this time. And with a podcast, people can, it's content on demand. Content on demand, wherever you want, whenever you want.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because I chose to do a video symposium this time because I wanted to do something new. I've always done, all my summits before have been audio only, although the upgrade package, people can download both the videos and the audios. And, you know, with people's devices, they can take us with them and just listen to it and not necessarily watch it.
Right.
But one of the things that I love about podcasting is that I will go for a walk with my dog and I will be sort of in the space of like, I just want to be open, you know, and not have, you know, I can do it while I'm driving and that kind of stuff too. But I actually, like when I'm listening to stuff that I really want to internalize, I'll go for a walk with my dog and I'll listen a little bit and then I'll turn it off and I'll think about it and then I'll listen again. And I just think that, you know, a lot of people are on the go.
Yeah.
And there are people that want to be out there walking at the gym where they can just, you know, listen to it while they're unconsciously doing other things like folding the laundry or on the treadmill or whatever. Yeah.
That's right. And at the same time that the technology allows us to be so free, it also goes back to, I really also think that it also goes back in a way to an ancient kind of way that we're used to taking in the way that we get to know each other. You know, I think about people, you know, sitting around a fire and one person kind of telling stories and talking about life and their wisdom and everybody listening. And so this is sort of a high tech version. Instead of sitting around the fire,
nice.
You know, now we're able to bring our little fire with us in our in our pockets, you know, via our phones or our tablets, and we can listen to those stories. I think the human desire for it is an ancient thing. It's just the technology to deliver it is more modern.
I love that. So I want to go back to something you said earlier about people and list exhaustion and using podcasts to engage their list. I mean, one thing I want to say, I can't help myself, but you know, for a lot of the entrepreneurs listening, they haven't gotten to list exhaustion.
Right.
Because they don't have, they're just building their list now. And one thing I want to say is, you know, there's a list exhaustion happens because you're not engaging your audience and they stop paying attention because you're just promoting all the time. And it's really important for you to think about, how do I want to communicate with my tribe to bring value for that, for them to have an experience of me and my knowledge and to stay engaged with me?
Yeah.
And certainly podcasting is one of the great ways to do that because you're adding value. You know, a lot of my tribe knows I blog a lot as well. But not everybody likes to read and not everybody likes to write.
Yes.
So I really want to encourage all of you out there to think about, all right, how can I engage my prospects and my clients on an ongoing basis? And podcasting is one of those great ways to do that, because I don't want anybody to have list exhaustion ever.
That's right. And you know, the other piece is that obviously, you know, I know most of the people listening are not going to have a list of 100,000, but you know, it's not just, like you said, it's building engagement. Even if you have a list of 500, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there are people who've had lists of 500 or 1,000. If you have a very engaged list, you can actually do quite well, even from, you know, 500 people or 1,000 people. If people love you and they're excited about everything you're doing,
yeah,
you know, versus let's say you have a list of 10,000 people who could care less about you, right?
It's so interesting because I was just having this conversation with a colleague of mine because somebody with a list of 30,000 didn't want to do business with this person who has 6,000 people on their list. And we actually did the math of like what the industry average is in terms of open rates. Which, keep in mind, if there are people who have a 36% open rate like my friend does, that means that the average is being brought up by people like her. And we actually figured out that she is more engaged with her list and she reaches more people than the person with so many more followers.
Right. If you have 40,000 people, but you have a 1% open rate, you're not really reaching 40,000 people. You might be reaching 40,000 spam boxes.
Exactly.
It's a really, it really opened my eyes when I saw that some of the biggest names in our industry were starting podcasts. It made me realize that it's even more powerful than I had even really thought.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, I love it because podcasting is really a way to engage your list and, you know, have them get to know you, have them get to know your philosophy and, you know, really build a following. So tell me a little bit about how, you know, sort of in the traditional online marketing mode, you know, we want to build our email list, right?
Right.
And podcasting is not really, the podcasting has its own syndication. So tell us a little bit about how that kind of fits together and how podcasting, how followers become clients.
How do you build your list from a podcast, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I would say that one of the things I found is that one of the strengths of podcasting is also one of the challenges, which is that people may be listening, you know, on the treadmill, right? And when you say, just go to Doug.com, right? They're not going to Doug.com. They're sweating on the treadmill. So one of the things that you can do, I mean, you can do this yourself or you can do, what I found is that podcasting needs to be kind of the beginning of a journey to invite people to go forward. So you can, for example, you can definitely tell people, you know, visit this place to give them some type of offer. But what I found is that it's a great way to create community. If you create a community around your podcast, so what I found is that the opposite, that rather than necessarily, you know, you certainly will get people who subscribe to your email list from a podcast, but a podcast also can warm people up to signing onto your list if they might not have.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
So you share, one of the things you can do, one of the things some of my clients have done is create pages where they share a podcast. And then at some point during the podcast, a button pops up and says, you know, it says sign up for, you know, there's a webinar to go deeper. So you can invite people, you could have a topic and then you could have a webinar that invites people to go deeper. And then if people can listen on a page, they start listening, they're excited, and then they'll sign up for email lists. But what I found is you usually have to have another step for people, something that will take them further. So a podcast is kind of just a way to to get people interested and excited and warmed up to you, and they say, "Oh yeah, I like that Doug guy, you know, and I like that Tara, you know, she's good. I do want to let me see what that webinar is about, or let me see what her, you know, what her ebook is about or her video."
Nice.
So again, it's just kind of a way to warm people up, to tip that decisional balance that maybe they wouldn't have signed up for your list, and now they'll make that decision to do it.
Great. So that brings up a question for me, because you were talking about Stitcher and you're talking about iTunes.
Yeah.
And then you were talking about being on your website and having a podcast on your website. Do those pull people to your site, or they do? Yeah. Okay, great. And then hopefully people are on your site and they can do the RSS feed from there as well.
Correct. Because you can have a link on iTunes. You do have a link to iTunes to your website.
Okay.
So that traffic that visits iTunes, if they like you, they're going to say, well, who is this? Like, especially if they haven't heard of you, it'll say visit website, and that will send traffic. And same thing with Stitcher Radio. And of course, you can have, I do recommend also that you have on your own website, you have a podcast page, and that will drive traffic to your website as well, you know, much like a blog does. So those are all good. But yeah, you'll have a link. Think about that. I mean, you've got a link from iTunes to your website. You've got a link from Stitcher Radio to your website. And so all of these are just ways for you to get out there in a bigger way and just
definitely
reaching people. Yeah.
Definitely. I love that. Yeah. And then you can use some of the more traditional models to engage people on the next level and put them into your pipeline. So I love that. So what are some of the big mistakes that people make? Because I'm sure you know, I'm a newbie at this, and I want to make sure I don't make these mistakes myself. So,
well, you know, it's funny because one of the things I said is like podcasting can be very powerful and engage your tribe, but there's a caveat to that, which is if you do it right, you know, if you do it right. And one of the big mistakes is people don't have a strategy. They don't really have a strategy. And so they just start podcasting and then nobody listens. And they go, oh, I tried that. It doesn't work. You know? That's my favorite. I tried it. It doesn't work. Right. I tried going to the gym. It didn't work.
I went once. Didn't lose a pound.
Oh, it's a lie. It's all a lie. You know.
Yeah. So it sounds like you know. I love Stephen Covey. Start with the end in mind. So just like with any strategy that we have that we want to attract clients, is you know what's my intention here? What do I want to get out of it? And making sure that you back up from there. If this is my intention, then what kind of content do I want to create? What theme do I want to create with my podcast?
And like any other content, does my market want this? Because the other piece is, you know, they always say, follow your passion, follow your passion. Well, yes and no. Follow your passion. But there's things I'm passionate about. I'm passionate about I've got a lot of passions. You know, I don't get silly things that are just my passions, right? Like, I like watching like some of the early like Ultimate Fighting Championship, things. But I'm not going to do a podcast about that because nobody really wants me to talk about that or cares. You know, I don't have any credibility.
Well, it's not related to your business, and it's not building credibility around that.
Right. So you have to make sure that you know following your passion is great, but you've got to also ask your market and make sure that this is something that they want before you start doing it. And that's another big mistake that people make.
Absolutely. I think this is a theme with some of the other interviews that we're doing too, in terms of, you know, what are you drawn to do? And then what are you drawn? Here's you and here, what are your clients drawn to, and looking for the things that connect like this, you know, where are my passions and what do my clients want and where do those overlap? Because those are the things that will draw people to your business.
And In the book, What Color is Your Parachute? It quotes Frederick Buechner, who says that our right livelihood or our divine work is the intersection of what we most need to do and what the world most needs to be done.
Nice.
And we have to find that intersection. And that's the divine. Yeah.
I read that book about 20 years ago. I don't remember that quote, but I remember, you know, remember how poignant it was. That's great. Yeah. And I've seen that with entrepreneurs. It's one of the sad things I see actually is like when people come to me and they said, you know, I built this program and I did this and nobody bought it. And it's like, well, you know, maybe you felt inspired to do that, but maybe, you know, it's not always like, how do I market this? I mean, sometimes they say, I want to know how to market this so people will buy it. And it's like, well, are you sure it's the one, you know, have you checked with your clients and your audience that this is something they actually want?
Right.
So, well, let's see, what else do I want to ask? I know that you say there's a number one podcast secret that you have. So what is the number one secret to podcasting success?
All right. So before I share that secret, I'm going to share with you the number one question that people ask me. No one ever asked me this question, but everyone asked me this question. No one ever comes out and says it this way, but this is the question they're asking without asking. Doug, you know, I want to do a podcast about relationships. I have this great system. I have this great system for eating healthier. I have a great system for saving money. I have a great system for holistic health. You know, fill it in, whatever you're listening, you know, if you're, you know, viewing this right now, whatever it is that you do, right? And you say, okay, I've got this system. I know it helps people, but is anybody going to really listen to my dinky podcast? You know, there's so many big names out there in the world. Yeah, I'm a coach, right? And I help people, you know, I help people find better partners. I help people, but you know what? I mean, what about, there's John Gray and there's all these famous people, you know, who's going to, and there's so much out there in the marketplace and it's so busy. Who's going to listen to me? Anybody going to really listen to me? And nobody ever asked me that, but everyone asked me that. It's that little gremlin inside our head.
Sure. We all have it.
We all have it. Really? You're going to start something, you know, who's going to listen to you? And the number one secret is the answer to that, which is yes, the world will listen to you and there are people in the world that need to hear it from you,
yeah.
But they need to hear your point of view. They need to hear your voice in your point of view. So you can't just share. It's not enough to share information with people. You've got to share your point of view. This is hard sometimes for when I work with therapists, it's very hard for them and some healers because, and even coaches, because they're trained in this, like, I'm just the facilitator.
I don't have the answers.
That's right. And you know what? I'm one of those people that I do believe that people have answers within them.
Absolutely.
But I also have a point of view and I have a voice.
Yeah.
And you're cheating yourself and you're lying to yourself. And I'll prove to you that you have a point of view because people that say, I don't really, you know, I go with the flow. If they drink coffee, I always want to ask them, you know, would you just go to Starbucks or wherever you go and say, so what kind of coffee would you like? Oh, whatever.
They might even say, what, Starbucks? I would never go to Starbucks.
Right. I like to go to, right. You know what you like and you know what you don't like and you know what resonates for you and you know what doesn't resonate for you. You've got to share your point of view. Even if you lose people, even if some people say, that's stupid, I don't like you, I don't like what you shared, you're on the right track.
Exactly.
So the number one thing over and over again, I think it's the reason why the clients I've worked with have been so successful is because I encourage them and challenge them and challenge them again to share their authentic point of view. What do you need to say? What is your voice? If you don't share your voice, you will get lost in the crowd.
Absolutely. I always say, you know, when you try to appeal to all, you appeal to none.
Yeah.
And that, you know, it's not like we want to disgust people. I mean, there are people out there that have really strong point of view that are very polarizing. And we're not saying that. What we're saying here is that the people who are really meant to work with you versus somebody else who offers the same gift, yeah, want to know you. They're going to be drawn to you. Reverend Deborah Johnson says, you know, people are waiting for you to come true. You know, people always say, oh, I'm waiting for my dreams to come true. It's like, they're waiting for you to come true. They're waiting for you. Your ideal client is waiting for you to come true and not somebody else that looks like you or, you know, also does business coaching or whatever. And we have to risk putting ourselves out there and risk having some people not like it in order for those people to find us.
That's right. And you don't need more. You don't need a bigger name. And you don't need a bigger list. I'm not saying you don't need that, these aren't things you want, but I'm saying to get started, you don't need a bigger name and you don't need a bigger list and you don't need to take, you know, 5 more courses and put, you know, more alphabet soup after your name. You just need to summon the courage. You just need to summon more courage right now to share your voice. And as you do that, I'm not saying it's going to happen day one. It may not happen day two, But after the first month and the second month and the third month, you will build a following and you will have people who email you from all over the world and call you and say, thank you. You made a difference in my life.
I love that. I love it. And you know what, Doug, it reminds me of something else we've talked about too, because what will you tell us a little bit about, because it made me think of you interviewing people and what that's created for you in your life. But yeah. Can you first tell us about the different models for podcasting?
Sure.
Yeah.
So one of them is a solo podcast, you know, so you could do a podcast where it's just you speaking, right? And you're sharing directly with your listeners. The other type of it is an interview podcast, which is really hot right now with the success of Entrepreneur on Fire and other shows like that. And then the third one is kind of a hybrid, where sometimes it's you speaking and sometimes you have a guest. And all of those can work. I've seen all of those work. And this is where, you know, I think I don't have an ABC for this. You have to decide within yourself what works best for you and your voice. But all three of those can work.
Yeah, and can you tell us a little bit about your model and what you use and some of the success that you've had?
Sure.
And how it's expanded your world beyond what you even imagined when you first started.
It has. I mean, I started, you know, interviewing, you know, I've interviewed, I mean, just tons and tons of people and people that I never thought I'd have a chance to, that I would never have had a chance to talk to. In fact, most recently we had, you know, on the Coach Sing show, we've had, I'll throw some names out there, Adam Urbanski, Joe Vitale from The Secret.
Oh, cool. I like
that. Yeah. We've had Larry Wingate, who wrote one of my favorite books called Grow a Pair. Shut up, stop whining and get a life. I love his books. I've interviewed all these different people, Kathleen Gage. And, you know, we have someone coming up now on the show who's probably one of the top, I'd say he's one of the top three coaches in the world. And we got an email back from his assistant and said, oh, he's wanted to be on the show for some time.
Oh.
Just waiting for his own podcast launch.
Oh, how funny.
And I'm thinking, oh my God, like he's been wanting to, like the thought that I'd be on this person's radar at all, you know, right?
Well, that's what happens in the virtual world is that, you know, we're at home in our slippers and not realizing really the ripple effect of our work. Because I've had weird experiences like that. I mean, it was weird for me when I've had people, like I've been walking around and somebody comes up to me and says, like, you're Tara Butler Flock. I'm like, yeah. Really? I'm having one of these moments?
You're a celebrity to them.
Well, it's so funny because it doesn't feel that way. And I'm sure that's how you feel too. It's like, I'm just a regular guy. Right. This is the work I do. I'm passionate about it. Like, wow, one of the top coaches in the world has been tracking me. Interesting, right. You know?
And that is, that can absolutely happen for you. The other thing that can happen is you don't necessarily need that. One of the, also the ways that I also help people with is you can target more locally. Let's say like, I want to be the biggest, you know, I really want to like build a big name for myself in Montreal. Well, then you can create an interview series in Montreal. You don't have to be the global superstar. You can interview in your area of the world and really, you know, be the superstar in your world too. So it doesn't have to be, you know, that it doesn't have to be that broad. It can really also be really narrow, and that can be effective as well.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I know that I've been on your show. It's how I met you and why you're here today.
Right.
I mean, talk about a little bit about how interviewing people, if that's your bliss, you know, because not everybody likes that style. A lot of coaches do, though, because we love being in dialogue and conversation and all that. But talk a little bit about how that has expanded your network and expanded your reach and opportunities for you.
Well, I've had, you know, all kinds of joint venture opportunities, you know, from doing interviews. I mean, in fact, a good part of my business really has been joint ventures with people that I've met on podcasts. That's been a big part of my model.
Nice.
One of those joint ventures is the one that we'll talk about at the end about the podcasting challenge. But yeah, I mean, it's expanded my network tremendously. You know, I have constantly people now, new people connecting with me on Facebook, which also gives me an opportunity to then, you know, those are people that I say, hey, thank you so much. What interested you? Those are new potential clients. So it translates into building my business as people, you know, what happens is as these people share, it's also tremendous testimonials. You know, as these people that have such credibility in the field share their podcast and say, Doug is awesome, Doug is great, I had such a great time, you should check it out, then what ends up happening is people, people take notice. They start noticing. Yeah. So, you know, I really, to be honest with you, I really came online. I was doing podcasting, but not really internet marketing. You know, I was still working a day job and I said other stuff. And I didn't really come on the scene until 2013, until the beginning of 2013. So really in 2 years, you know, I went from, I really had nothing, like not even really a website. And then now to be where I am, where like I said, you know, that, you know, a good part of the top coaches in the world at least know who I am.
Yeah.
That has been made possible through podcasting. Yeah.
Absolutely. That is great. Yeah. And I know that you've been invited to do strategic alliances, invited to people's events. And I mean,
I met Deepak Chopra, NASA astronauts, Deputy Secretary of Education, the man who invented the laptop.
Wow. That is so cool. And I mean, and just for me, this is just so resonant because I could interview people all day long. I mean, I just love these type of things and it's just so juicy to me. So I'm excited about taking your podcast challenge. So tell us a little bit about that. Cause I know, you know, a lot of people are like, well, where do I begin? I mean, this has been really useful in helping people understand the context and what's possible for them. But there's a lot of bits and bytes to getting a podcast happening and out there and working for your business. So tell us about your podcast challenge, because I know that's your free gift that you're going to give to us all today.
So Devorah Lansky and I, who I met Devorah at CoachSing through the CoachSing show, we created this podcasting challenge, which takes you through 30 days of bite-sized tutorials, step-by-step, everything you need to know to create, you know, what software to get, you know, where to, you know, what equipment, what, you know, what, everything you need to know to create, launch and market and monetize your podcast. And it's bite-sized action steps so that it's not overwhelming, no matter what your technology level. If you can pick up a phone, then you can do this. And, you know, what I'm really excited about is this is really the best of what I've learned about how to start a podcast easily and to make this accessible to anyone so that if you want to start a podcast, this will give you everything you need to know, not only to start your podcast, but how to grow your listener base, how to market it and monetize it.
Awesome. I love it. That is so generous of you. I mean, that's what I love about this series is I've really attracted people who really are generous and know that one of the best ways to attract clients and is really to attract a following that and be generous with your content so that people are out there doing this work in the world and that some of them will raise their hand to continue working with you, which I'm sure will happen as a result of this. But thank you for your generosity because that is really worth a lot of money. And thank you for that. And thank you for being here today. I really admire you. I really enjoy our collaborations and look forward to doing more of it.
Thank you. Same here, Tara. Thank you for the opportunity to help me share my message with the world. And yeah, I feel the same way. I look forward to future collaboration with you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. All right, everybody. We'll see you soon. Bye-bye.